Please turn with me now in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 16, verses 1 to 11. This morning we want to consider together characteristics of a Christian lifestyle. Again, our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now, thus far, the reading of God's word, may the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do ask now for your divine blessing, your assistance. We ask for clarity. We ask you to open up our minds to understand this portion of your word, to understand your will for us, your desire for our lives, that here during this hour, during this time, we might receive instruction and encouragement from you that would bring life, that would bring change, that would bring hope, that would further your work in us. We pray for that, Lord. We long to be the people that you want us to be. We long to be the people that we were intended to be, that we were meant to be, that we're supposed to be. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that work in us and that you would even use your word to speak that life in us and to speak that change in us and to use your word even this morning to help change us and transform us and make us more and more the people you call us to be. So we ask for that, Lord. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to live the Christian life? What does the Christian life look like? Our world is changing very rapidly. I mean, our world today is very different than it was just 20 years ago. Young people are different than their parents. More and more we have people from different countries, different parts of the world, different cultures coming here. Different people are coming to know the Lord who don't necessarily come from a Christian home or a Christian background. And so it raises the question, well, what does the Christian life look like? In our passage this morning, Paul is beginning to wrap up his letter to the church in Corinth. And you know how it is when you're wrapping up a phone call or you're Skyping with someone and you're about to wrap it up. Before I hang up, you know, something else I want to mention. Well, this is kind of what Paul's doing. He's about to wrap up his letter, and there's a couple of housekeeping details that come up. And together, they kind of help flesh out for us our understanding of what the Christian life looks like. Some of them sound like sort of just kind of unrelated little details here and there, but together they help flesh out for us what the Christian life should look like. This morning, Paul gives us three things that should characterize your Christian lifestyle. The first is regular, consistent giving. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." If you remember, the church in Jerusalem was a large church. The Christian church there was a very large congregation. That's where the gospel really first took root and began to grow. So the congregation in Jerusalem was a large church, and they had a large ministry to widows. There were obviously a lot of older folks in Jerusalem, and particularly older Jewish folks, if they got older, would want to move back to be in Jerusalem. And so there were a lot of widows there. And so that church in Jerusalem had a major ministry to widows. There was a lot of, they were providing food. They were feeding many, many of these widows. And then persecution started in Jerusalem. Remember, Stephen was stoned, and all of a sudden it was no longer safe to be a Christian in Jerusalem. So many of the families, particularly the younger families, the ones who could get up and leave, they left. And so what you have now is a congregation in which many of the families who are able have moved out, and what's left is a much smaller number of families, but still many, many of these widows who have been dependent on that congregation for food. And then a famine came. Okay, which means there was suddenly a lot less food in Jerusalem. The food that was there, the price was much higher. The food was much more expensive. And so what Paul's been doing as he's been ministering to different congregations elsewhere, he has been encouraging them to help give, to help these starving Christians back in Jerusalem. So that's what he's referring to here when he says the collection of the saints, the collecting, gathering money to help these starving Christians back in Jerusalem. And what he tells us this morning is that giving is not just something other people should do. We all know giving is important. We all know that. And yet sometimes we think of giving as something that he ought to be doing. You know, she ought to be doing. Those other people. Paul reminds us here that giving is not just something someone else is supposed to do. He says, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. In other words, I gave instructions to these churches in this other area called Galatia. But giving is not just something they're supposed to do. He says, I expect you to do the same thing. Giving is something that every Christian and every congregation should be a part of. Giving should be a regular, consistent part of your lifestyle. Paul says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there'll be no collecting when I come. Okay, Paul is intending to visit the church in Corinth, but he doesn't want to show up there and then have to have a big collection. You know, a big deal where we have to present the need and make a big show of it. And he doesn't want to do that. Instead, he says, on the first day of every week, you know, every Sunday, just set aside some money, so that we don't have to have a big collection when I show up. You know how we are. When there's an emergency, when there's an earthquake, when there's a hurricane, when there's something, especially if it's on television 24 hours a day, sooner or later, you see something, you see an interview, you see a clip, something begins to move you, and you feel like, I need to do something. When there's something really big, really tragic, it touches you, and you feel like, I need to do something. But other occasions, if it's not really big, if it's not on the news, if you don't see it on the web, if it's not in front of you all the time, other needs kind of get forgotten or get passed by. And Paul is reminding us here that giving is not just some extraordinary thing we do every once in a while when there's a huge emergency. It ought to just be part of who you are. You know, you ought to be a giving person. And so that regular, consistent giving should just be part of your lifestyle. He says, I don't want to have a big collection and make a big deal about it. Notice there's no emotional plea here. You know, there's no pressure. There's no stress. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It's very calm. It's very reasoned. In fact, he assumes we even know what the problem is. He doesn't even tell what the problem is, the need is. Because he's not trying to pressure you into some kind of big, sudden decision. You know, sometimes we do that. We feel guilty. We feel pressured. And maybe you feel guilty that you can't give more, or maybe sometimes even you give more than you should, and later you regret it. Paul's not interested in that. He's not applying guilt or pressure or pulling on your heartstrings. He just says giving should be a regular, consistent part of your lifestyle. It ought to be something you just anticipate. It's something you budget. You know, emergencies come and go, but there's always going to be needs. And so when you sit down with your paycheck, you make a budget, that ought to just be factored in that, you know what? I'm going to have to set aside some money to give because that's just kind of who we are. That's part of the Christian lifestyle. Giving should be a regular, consistent part of your lifestyle, and it should be proportionate to the way God has provided for you. I mean, obviously, some people can give more than others. And in some times in your life, you can give more than others. Paul says, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. That is, as God blesses you, as God provides for you financially, the more God has provided for you, the more you're able to give. Now, you know how we think. The more money we make, the more we spend. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why not? I can afford it. Why not? And there's nothing wrong with buying nice things for yourself. But Paul is saying here, listen, the more God provides for you, the more you should give. And you need to think about that and plan for that and prepare for that. Too often, emergency comes up, a crisis comes up, and we think, do I have any money on me? And whether I give kind of hinges on, well, whether I happen to have money now or did I just pay this bill? Or Paul's saying, look, giving should not just be this occasional crisis emergency. It ought to just be a regular, consistent part of your life. May not be a big deal. Maybe you can't give much. Paul says that's fine. Give as God provides for you. But it just ought to be a regular, consistent part of your life. It ought to be who you are. You're a giver. And that should be factored into your budget that, you know what? You're going to pay the electric bill, and I'm going to pay this bill, and I'm also going to be giving, because that's part of who we are. This is what Paul says. When I arrive, I'll send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. In other words, Paul says, I want you to decide who you trust with this money. Okay, and don't wait to the last minute. He says, you go ahead, you decide who you trust, and then you're going to send me a letter telling me whom you want to handle this money. And then Paul says, when I show up, then I'll make sure those people you have chosen will make sure that money gets to Jerusalem. Okay? Because everything's going to, Paul wants everything to be done above board. Okay? This is not a one-time thing. It's going to be a regular part of the church. Things come up. So we have to have a regular system for handling the finances. And he says, if it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. In other words, Paul says, now it may turn out that maybe it's wise for me to go to Jerusalem. But Paul's not going to pull a bait and switch here and say, well, you know what? I got to go to Jerusalem anyway. You guys stay. I'll take the money. And then maybe Paul could run off and use the money on himself. Paul says, no, no. Everything needs to be done right. You need to know your money is going where it's intended. So he says, even if I end up going to Jerusalem, those people that you've chosen, they're going to go too. And they're going to make sure the money goes where you want. We all know situations when there's an emergency or a crisis and suddenly a ministry spring up and you want to give, but you don't know where that money's going to end up. Well, for the church, look, giving is something we do all the time. It's part of our DNA. It's just built into what it means to be a believer. And so there needs to be a regular plan for doing it. Regular, consistent giving should just be a characteristic of your whole way of life. Your life should also be characterized by thoughtful, flexible planning. Verse 5, Paul says, I'll visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter, so you may help me on my journey wherever I go. Paul's looking ahead. He's planning ahead. And he says, now listen, I intend to go through Macedonia, so maybe I'll come see you after I go through Macedonia. You know, Jesus says, you don't just start building a tower. First, you stop and think, do I have the materials, the laborer, the stone? Do I have the money to build a whole tower? You don't just start building one and then get halfway finished and think, I can't afford this. Half a tower doesn't do you any good. So Jesus says, obviously, you're going to stop and you're going to think and you're going to plan before you build it. That's what we do. You stop. You think ahead. Proverbs says the wise person sees danger coming and plans for it. You plan ahead. Jesus says a king, he doesn't go to war unless he's first thought and said, do I have enough troops to win this thing? And so as a believer, you want to plan ahead and ask yourself, what is it I want? Well, what do I need to accomplish today? What do I want to accomplish this week? What do I want to accomplish with my life? Okay. Do I want to start a family? Do I want a career? Where do I want to go? And how do I need to get there? As a believer, you need to take time to stop and think. Paul says, okay, I intend to go through Macedonia. And so I'll visit you after that. Perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter. There's certain challenges to traveling, especially in the ancient world. And one is you couldn't travel during the winter. So he's got to think ahead about where am I going to be when winter comes. And so he says to the Corinthians, well, maybe I'll even stay in Corinth with you guys. And you can help me on my journey. He says, I don't know where I'm going to go next after that, but maybe I'll stay with you guys so that during the winter you can, you know, I can minister to you and you can help replenish my needs and with supplies. Maybe by that time there'll be some guys who can go with me as travel companions. You know, maybe you guys can help me. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. Okay. Paul says, I'm just going to pass through Macedonia, but when it comes to Corinthians, I don't want to just pass through. He says, I hope to spend some time with you. Okay. Paul knows what he wants. I want to spend some time with you. You should know what you want. What you want to accomplish in life. What you want to get done this week. What is important. You should know what you want and you should plan ahead. And yet recognize that God is in control. Listen to things that Paul says. I will visit you. I intend to pass through Macedonia. I'll stay with you and spend the winter. I do not want to see you just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you. But then listen to what else he says. I intend to pass through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you. Wherever I go, I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. On the one hand, he knows what he wants and he's thinking ahead and he's making plans, but he recognizes he's not in control. God is in control, and sometimes you have to be flexible. We all know some people who never plan ahead. They are always late. They are always unprepared. They are always caught off guard. They're always in an emergency. Some people never think beyond the moment, and they're never ready for whatever life brings. And some people are inflexible. They make their plans, and this is the way it's going to be, and if it doesn't work out just like that, they get angry. Angry at God, angry at other people. No, God, this was what I had planned. Well, God wants us to think and plan and be wise, but we've also got to be flexible because we are not God. God is in control, and sometimes things come up that we don't anticipate. Sometimes there are opportunities or challenges that might lead us to change our plans. Paul says, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. Okay? Something has happened in Ephesus. Okay, we don't know what it was, but Paul says it's like a wide door has suddenly opened up. So something has changed. Okay? That door wasn't there before. That door was closed. But now this door has opened up. So something has happened in Ephesus that Paul calls the opening up of a wide door for effective ministry. So maybe it's a new location in Ephesus where Paul's going to be able to preach, where he can reach a lot more people. Or maybe it's a neighborhood or a part of the population that have suddenly shown interest. Paul says something has changed here. Something has affected him that's going to affect his plans. Suddenly this door, wide open door has opened. Not a crack, but wide open. Some opportunity that is so significant that he's going to have to adjust his plans and make sure he stays in Ephesus. He says, a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So on the one hand, it's like there's a wide open door for ministry. Man, what a great opportunity. And yet he says, there are a lot of people there who want to see that door closed. There are a lot of people there who just do not want to see the gospel going forward. And it seems to be these two things together that have caused Paul to kind of trim his plans. If it was just a wide open door, well, maybe Paul could just trust the church in Ephesus to handle it. I mean, there was a church in Ephesus, and if it's just a wide open door, anybody can walk through a wide open door. If it's that easy, maybe Paul could go on and do something else and trust the Christians in Ephesus to handle it. Or if it was just that there are a lot of adversaries, a lot of people there who don't want to see the gospel go forward, Paul could say, well, you know, this just isn't very fruitful ground. I'll spend my time somewhere else. It seems like it's this combination of two things. On the one hand, this wide open door, this great opportunity. And yet there's many people who want to close that door. And it seems like it's that combination where Paul feels like maybe I'll be the one to make a difference. Maybe I need to stand, because this opportunity is there, I need to stand against these adversaries to keep that door open. It seems that combination of great opportunity and great resistance that leads Paul to say, you know what? As much as there are other needs, I need to stay here for now. Okay? Plan ahead. Plan your summer, plan your vacation, think ahead to next year, think about your career, you know. But recognize that God is in control, and sometimes our plans have to change. Okay, just as Christian people, your life should be characterized by regular, consistent giving, thoughtful, flexible planning, and warm, respectful support. Paul says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he's doing the work of the Lord as I am. Now, we saw last week that some of the people in the church in Corinth were sort of what they call clergy killers. I mean, this was the kind of church that could be really tough on a guy. Remember, they were critical of Paul. They said he wasn't much to look at. He wasn't very impressive. Some people want a pastor who's dynamic, who's a real strong personality. And some people just, they didn't like Paul. They thought he wasn't very impressive. He talks big in his letters, but in person, he's just kind of humble and meek. And others preferred Apollos. They liked his preaching better. And this was the kind of congregation that could chew a guy up and spit him out. Well, now Timothy is coming to minister there. And so Paul says, don't treat him that way. See that you put him at ease, for he's doing the work of the Lord as I am. Okay? When Timothy shows up, Timothy's a young man, and you can understand him. He might be a little uncomfortable. He knows a little bit about the church in Corinth and what they can be like. And so they make him comfortable. Help him to feel at home. Put him at ease. Let no one despise him. Now, later on, years from this, Paul is going to write to Timothy, and he's going to say, Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Okay? Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. Well, that would be many years later. So if Timothy was young then, you can be sure he's young now. And so Paul's writing to this church, don't look down on Timothy just because he's young. Don't despise him. And don't let anybody else despise him. Okay, the Christian life should be characterized by warm, respectful support of each other. That's what the Christian church is supposed to be, a Christian family. Warm, respectful support for each other. We share our struggles, our problems, our challenges. We're all different. But we ought to be characterized by warm, loving support for one another, and especially those who are laboring for the gospel. Timothy was not their pastor, but he was going to come and serve them for a while. And so Paul says, put him at ease. He's doing the work of the Lord. You know, anytime somebody is serving in any capacity, it is very easy to be critical. And that's just easy to do. You know, it's like watching television. It's easy to watch television and criticize the game on TV or criticize the coach. It's a lot easier to criticize than to get out there and do it. Well, here's Timothy, and he's a sitting duck. He's a young guy. He's walking in to this church, and he's not from around there, and it would be so easy to just rip him to threads. To shreds, just tear them up. But Paul says he's doing the Lord's work. So put him at ease, okay? Don't look down on him. Help him. Help him on his way in peace that he may return to me, for I'm expecting him with the brothers. Paul says, I'm expecting Timothy after he spends time with you. He's going to come back with others to come see me. So help him out. You know, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or someone helping the youth group or anybody, whenever you see someone in the church who's coming forward and volunteering to help and use their gifts, support them. Appreciate them. Express your appreciation. It's hard to give, and it's easy to see to find faults. But when you see someone in the congregation who's trying to help, show them some support, encouragement. Hey, that should just be part of who we are. The Christian life should be characterized by regular, consistent giving, thoughtful, flexible planning, and warm, respectful support. Not just sometimes, okay? Not just some people, but all of us. That just should characterize the Christian life, because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's not just Lord on Sundays. He's not just Lord over the church property. He's not just Lord in certain areas of your life. He's not just Lord over religious things or spiritual things. Jesus is our maker. He is our creator. He is our lawgiver. He is our judge. And he is Lord over everything. The truth is, you and I are not very consistent. We're not very consistent in much of anything. I mean, our spiritual life is up and down, up and down. Our giving is up and down. You know, we're not a very consistent people. We're not always a very generous people. We don't always plan ahead. Sometimes we're impulsive and foolish. Other times we make our plans and we have a hard time being flexible. Sometimes we aren't always, sometimes we're more critical than we are supportive of people. I mean, that's the kind of people we are. And it's not just that we're irritating sometimes to other people. Ultimately, we are sinning against the one who made us. You know, we were made for him, for his purposes. And when we are inconsistent and when we're greedy or when we're just not very generous or when we're not thoughtful or when we're inflexible, when we don't support one another, we're not just making life hard for each other, but we're ultimately sinning against the one who made us, who loves us, who calls us to account. But the gospel is that this God who has made us, that we have sinned against, he has come down into this world and he has gone to the cross in our place. And that's the whole thing we call the gospel, is that because of my inconsistency in the spiritual life and my hesitation and my reluctance to help others, because of my sins, Jesus went and died on the cross in my place. He willingly offers to take your guilt. The very one that we have sinned against has come to be our Savior, to die in our place and take our guilt. And so, of course, you ask him to forgive you. I mean, that's where you begin. Jesus, forgive me. You talk to him. Do business with Jesus. Lord, forgive me. Take away my sin. Forgive me. But more than that, we want to thoughtfully, prayerfully consider how we can serve him and one another with all our lives. I mean, the Christian life is not just about the big moments. It's not just the big decisions. Paul is talking about the mundane. He's talking about the everyday. And Jesus is Lord of every day. He's not just Lord on Sunday. He's Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all throughout the week. Not just the big moments of life, but also the little things. And he wants us to serve him faithfully in the big things and the little things. He's Lord of all, and he gave himself in our place. He took our penalty, our suffering, our punishment, our justice, our just due. He suffered for us. So we need to trust him, but we also need to prayerfully consider, how can we serve him? And how do we serve each other? Not just once, not just occasionally, not just when I feel like it, not just in the big moments, not just when I'm moved emotionally, but he's Lord of all. And so we need to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider, how can we serve him and one another all the time with all our lives? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you reach forth your hand and you put your finger on every part of our life. And you know those areas that we tend to hold back. Those areas we tend to hold on to too tightly, whether it's our freedom and our spontaneity or our plans and our organization. Lord, whether it's our money or our reputation, or what we think of ourselves, or what others think of us, whether it's control. Lord, you know. You reach forth and you put your finger on those very things that we don't want to let go of. And you remind us those things belong to you. You are Lord. And you are altogether worthy to be called Lord. Both as our maker and our creator. Also as our savior. As our Redeemer, as the one who suffered for us and gave his life for us. And so we do pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to give back to you what is already yours. Help us to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider how we can live all our lives, every day and every moment of our day, for you and for each other. We pray for this, Lord, and ask for your Spirit's work. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.